cards displayed. And, you know, Janice and I got to looking at them, and we realized that we knew the majority of the people. They were from our brothers and sisters in Christ. So you are practicing one anothering. Thank you very much. The basis for our study is scriptures that contain one another, or this phrase, one another. And many years ago, I began building this material by looking just at a concordance and studying these verses. And over time, certain themes developed, and I think it's important to look at them. If you run a search with a concordance, you'll find more than 40 passages in the New Testament that contain one another. Not all of them provide instruction, but many of them do. And so our class is about looking at these. I typically study in the NIV, but I always look at many other translations. And depending on the translation, you will find a different number of occurrences of this phrase, one another. Today, we want to study about being devoted to one another. I don't normally think about being devoted to you. I really don't. And you may not either. You may not think about being devoted to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And we want to talk about that today. See if we can understand what that means a little better. Before we begin, though, let's have a word of prayer. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, we praise you for your word, and we praise you for Jesus. And we thank you so much for his righteousness and his grace. And we just ask that you bless us. As we look at your word, we ask that you help us to study, not just now, but each day of the week, to look at your word, to read it, and try to understand it and apply it in our lives. Father, we do thank you for this time of the year. We get to see family and friends, and there's always a lot of joy. And Father, help us to understand that in Christ, that joy is available to us. And to share it with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and let that attitude be part of our fellowship with them. It is such an encouragement, and we thank you for that. We thank you for those who truly have that blessing, that skill. You've given them that gift to encourage each of us and help us to run the race that you've set before us. Father, once again, we thank you so much for Jesus, and we just ask that you be with us this morning. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Short verse. We're going to talk about the first half of it today and the second half of it next week. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 begins. It says very simply, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love." We are, in fact, instructed to be devoted to one another. Notice the phrase, in brotherly love. That tells us how to do it. Okay, be devoted in brotherly love. Remember, if you reflect back to the first lesson, maybe you missed it, so I'll review a little bit. I suggested a framework for you to help remember this foundation for one anothering. And I suggested Matthew 22. The greatest command, Jesus said, love God, love your neighbor. And he made this other statement that all the law and all the prophets hang on these two commands. So that's kind of our structure, all right? Then I took you to Matthew 16 or Luke 9, 23. Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow Jesus. Follow after me. That's the challenge he set before us. And one anothering always begins with self-denial. And then we fast forward it over to John 13, 34. Jesus said clearly, a new command I give you, love one another. So the solution to the challenge, very simply, is love one another. Now about the translation. Some of you may be looking at different translations, and they vary a lot on this particular passage. So I thought I'd spend a couple of moments and talk about them. The New King James very similar to the King James, so I've only referenced one of them. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. So instead of be devoted to one another in love and brotherly love, be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. The ASV, first time I read it, I had to read it a couple of times more because it, you know, if you're looking at it, it's complicated to me. It says, in love of the brethren, be tenderly affectioned one to another. Now, if you think about it for a minute, it's very complete. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectioned. The RSV puts it really simple. Love one another with brotherly affection. And then I included the New Living Testament, which says, love each other with genuine affection. So it varies a little bit. I personally like devoted. Be devoted to one another. It's more tangible to me. But all of these are good translations, and you really need to look at them in order to get the full meaning of what the writer's instructing us to do. The Greek word translated as devoted in the NIV literally means cherishing one's kindred, fond of natural relatives. In other words, be fraternal towards your brothers and sisters in Christ. The Greek word translated as brotherly love, there's just no mistake there. That's Philadelphia's. Brotherly love. Okay, that's that feeling we have. That's that expression of love that we make. If we made a list of things to do, I mentioned this earlier, devotion might not even make that list. So if we talk about being devoted to one another, what does devoted mean to you? What does devoted mean to you? Committed, that's a good word. I like that. Committed. What else? Loyalty? That's a good comment too, because we're going to look at both of those words as a matter of fact. Sharing. Being devoted means, and we're going to look at Acts 2:42, you're going to find the brethren shared with one another. What else? Respectful? Yeah. Next week, we're going to talk about honor one another. Being devoted to one another includes many of these terms. I think it's very tangible to us. Webster's gives us this definition, to give or apply one's time, attention, or self completely. Notice attention to self, that is applying yourself completely. That sort of relates to denying yourself in order to be devoted to others. The second bullet, showing ardent attachment or loyalty. Okay, there's no matter what. In other words, you're my brother or sister in Christ. I need to be committed to you unconditionally, spiritually, that is. Do you think much about being devoted to your brothers and sisters in Christ? You don't have to answer. You can shake your head or... No, I don't know. I do. I think we do. Didn't you know it was... Yes, sir.
You know, I think about devoted. I guess because I never thought about being devoted to one another for a minute. I've always seen kind of a turn that is a relationship between a man and a woman, particularly a husband and a wife, the devotion to have closeness between. And I can see where you have. It's devotion between men,
this is brotherly love. Yeah, it's a kind, affectionate, genuine devotion to one another. Okay, it's an expression of those emotions. Good comment. Anybody else got something they want to say? Well, it was this way from the beginning. All right, turn with me to Acts 2:42. Acts 2:42. We're going to read 42 through 47. Yes, ma'am.
Circle, but they feel welcome in whatever.
Yeah. Barbara's saying that and if you haven't been in the first lesson this morning, Ken's going to talk to us about peace. And inclusion is important. And I'm going to touch on this later because I'm going to give you a practical suggestion not to isolate yourself. Okay? It's a two-way street. I got to choose not to be isolated also. But we need to make an effort, a good faith effort, to include others. I think it's interesting. We come to church every Sunday, and we sit in the same place, right? And we see the same people, okay? You guys sit over here, you see you guys. But you don't talk to these guys over here, not because you don't set out to do that, but it just doesn't happen. You flow that way, and they flow that way, and we just don't talk to one another, okay? And if I'm going to even suggest you ought to move from over there over here so you get to know other people. The bad thing about it, I've learned, is sometimes you sit in somebody's seat, and they come and they look at you like, you don't belong there. The point is, we need to move around, and we need to try and be deliberate about trying to include others and get to know one another, right? Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, what were the circumstances in Jerusalem right then? What was the event that was going on? Pentecost. Okay, good answer. And as we talk about this, I want you to visualize the modern world. We have events in major cities. Think of the political conventions that just occurred. This was Pentecost. It's also known as the Festival of the First Fruits, the Harvest Festival, or the Feast of the Weeks. This was approximately 50 days after Passover, depending on when you start counting. Some of you may have been in Elton's class before, and he really has done some research. He understands how that transpired. I'm not going to try to split hairs. That's hard for me. But it's approximately 50 days after the Passover, hence the name Pentecost. There were a lot of people in the city, okay? Think about our political conventions. People come to the city as believers to participate in the event. But there were a lot of people that came to the city for commercial reasons, okay? They came to profit. They were either selling services or they were selling goods, maybe food. But think about it. If in a major event like this, the inns are full, the hotels are full, you go out to eat, you got to wait in line. If you're in that immediate area, it's very congested. So it probably wasn't easy. There were a lot of people who came for the festival that may have not had a place to stay, that may have not had much money to buy food and the things they needed or to actually return home. So in 2:42 through 47, you find the behavior of the disciples there right at the beginning to be very benevolent, very caring of one another. They were looking out for one another. I don't know that it's all that different than it is today. Devotion to one another was evident right from the start of the church. Some of the things they were devoted to were the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to meeting together, to breaking bread. They enjoyed the favor of all the people. Do you think we're devoted to one another? I see some heads saying yes. I think the answer is yes, we are devoted to one another. The point I want you to understand, though, has to do with the second question. Could we be more devoted to one another? And in fact, I think that's what the scriptures tell us. Yeah.
Because it shows weakness rather than strength.
And we talked about this last week. She's saying that sometimes pride gets in the way and we don't share our needs. And consequently, our brothers and sisters can't care for us. And I continue to remind you that we have a responsibility not only to care for one another, but also to allow others to care for us. It's a two-way street. I had so many things on my mind while you were talking. You inspired me, and now I'm blank. Anyway, I'll come back to it. It's not your fault.
It does say in verse 46, from house to house. So do we do enough visitation within the congregation?
You know, that's a good comment. Are we doing enough? And I'm going to come back to that. The whole message is we need to do more, okay? And there are different ways we can practice devotion, okay? And we're going to talk about that as the lesson unfolds. So I don't want to drill into that too deeply just yet. A couple of more comments about the translations. In 242, the New King James says continued steadfastly, not devoted. The New American Standard says continually devoting as opposed to just devotion. I use vines from time to time to give me some ideas, and it points out a couple of things that are real important. We can be devoted to places and things, but we also need to be devoted to people or persons. And sometimes you see both. In fact, in this passage, you actually do see both. The people were devoted to what? The teaching of the apostles? Okay, and why? Teaching by the apostles to build up the church. So it's two-dimensional, okay? They also, when people had needs, they raised the funds to meet those needs. Okay, so we saw that type of activity ongoing as well. So they were focused not only on things and places, but also on one another. Sometimes I go too fast. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Now, about brotherly love, we do not need to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do all love the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. Simple reminder, do it more.
John?
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you. She's actually paying us a compliment, encouraging the body, right? By saying that her experience when she moved here was that we were very accommodating. We didn't look down our noses when she sat in our pew seat, right? I've told this story before. I grew up in a different denomination, and there was a very wealthy gentleman in the community, and he was elderly. I was just a little guy, but he didn't show up for the first part of the worship. He came for the sermon only, and he would come walking in with his little cane, and it was a very slow walk all the way to the front, and if there was anybody sitting in his spot, he'd tap them with that cane, as in move over. I always always thought that was funny, but he did it every Sunday. Anyway, I suggest that we respond the same way about being devoted. Do it more and more. Notice the relationship of the words. In the first occurrence in verse 9, that is love, it says, now about brotherly love. That's Philadelphia's, okay? It's clearly about brotherly love. Then you drop down a little bit, and he says, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. That's agape. That's unconditional. That's highly regarding, highly esteeming, okay? It's a different verb. Turn with me to Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also the interest of others. We'll come back to this verse. It's pretty jam-packed, but I always find it interesting. When I start looking at these verses, I find a lot of the same ingredients contained in these passages. You know, the writer is typically suggesting some behaviors in an effort to explain to you, I think, how to do what he's instructing us to do. So in this case, don't be selfish, you know, don't be conceited. Practice humility. Consider others better than yourself. Do this and look to the needs of one another. Okay? Look also to the interest of others. Deny yourself. Act with humility. Consider others better than yourself and look to the interest of others. How can you make yourself more aware of the needs of your brothers and sisters in Christ? I think, you know, we've been kind of dancing around this all morning. Pardon the expression. We've skirted the issue. How can you make yourself more aware of the needs of your brothers and sisters in Christ? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. The comment is that we need to have a relationship in essence, okay? We need to establish that relationship. You need to have fellowship with one another. You need to talk to one another in order to be able to recognize needs. But I'll add one more. You got to listen, you know? Because people can be telling you they got a problem and you don't hear it because you're not listening, okay? Yes, ma'am. Not everybody's going to open up and share their needs with you. You have to be able to establish some dialogue with them. I want to remind you, most of these passages relate specifically to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, we're talking about the body. But some of these things, some of these skills, these talents are applicable outside the body and can serve spiritual purposes also. So developing that ability is important. Have any of you guys ever know anybody, you know, you make casual conversation, you walk in, you say, how you doing? And they say, fine. How you doing? Everybody's just a natural response. I'm fine. But you ever have anybody say, well, I'm not doing good. I'm lousy. You know, nobody ever says that. You have to engage them a little bit and talk to them a little bit to find out, okay? How can you make yourself more aware of your needs are of the needs of your brothers and sisters in Christ. We've talked about having fellowship with them, talking to them, getting to know them, engage them conversationally. What else comes to mind? We're going to have a newcomers fellowship this afternoon. So if you're a newcomer within the last year, go to the Modas. The Modas are practicing one anothering. They're opening their home to a number of people this afternoon. It'll be an opportunity for you to meet the ministers we have here and the elders we have here and get to visit with them a little bit. And so... Oh, great. It's not always easy. Shauna's telling us, okay, it's not just about the newcomers. We all need to mix it up a little bit. We need to reach out and walk across the aisle, so to speak, and talk to each other and get to know one another better. You know, I mean, I'm terribly guilty of it. I try, and it seems like every Sunday I'm meeting people I've never met before. And I'm terrible with names. Yes. Each one of us have that responsibility, don't we, Louis? Yeah, the challenge will change as we grow, is Louis' comment. But we still need to do it. Don't get comfortable in your spot. Don't get comfortable just in this one spot every Sunday morning. Reach out. Yes. I'm not going to touch that one. I think each one of us individually can do that, you know. Okay, well, at least those in here, in this class, you know the challenge. You don't have to explain the challenge. You just sit somewhere else, okay? Meet some new folks. Talk to them. You don't even have to do newcomer. You can just say, I'm Jim Bob Jumpbag. Shauna's point is to encourage people to get involved, whatever it is, and make them feel welcome. Good comments. How are we doing on time? Yes, ma'am. I seem to recall that. Yeah. A man who has... repeat that one more time.
A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. Good comment. Yes, ma'am. No, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jill's comment is a good one. We tend to really not make eye contact. We tend to not speak to people. We tend to not get to know them. She started with the fact that when you used to go to the little grocery store in your hometown, you knew everybody. And you always visited with them. And we've lost some of that as we've become more urban. And technology has enabled us to live very isolated. And that's just not the way we're supposed to do it. That's contrary specifically to our faith. So when we talk about the body that is Christ, we need to be more caring of one another, more devoted to one another. These are excellent comments.
John,
yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Introduce yourself to it for the children to find their classes to help them get to the right place. And it works so beautifully to see all of those people making you feel so welcome when you drive up.
Yeah. Mary's talking about the little rose lapel pins and how that helps identify visitors, and we can reach out to them because we recognize them. I've been places where we did that. It's a good idea. I got trained pretty good. I went to Texas Tech University. When you walk around, at least back 30 years ago, when you walked around campus, everybody made eye contact and said, "Heidi, how you doing?" I mean, that was just the way it was. When you passed somebody, you didn't know them. You know, there's 20, 25,000 people on campus, but that's the way it was. Everybody said, "Hello," made eye contact. And, you know, you got to be pretty deliberate about that these days. I do that in the airport sometimes as I'm walking along. You know, if I make eye contact, I say, "Hi, how you doing?" And sometimes people don't even see me. They eventually turn around and look, realizing that somebody spoke to them. Try it. Let's move on here. I gotta pick up the pace. Hebrews 13:1-2. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Again, in verse 1, that word loving, that's Philadelphia. It's brotherly love. Not only for your brothers and sisters, but also strangers. So this text not only applies to us, it applies to those folks you run into. Mary was telling me about a story this Wednesday night, right? She was out shopping with, yeah, and she sat down to wait because she was waiting on her daughter and she was tired. And she got to talking to the lady there, and it turns out she was a member of the church. And so she invited her. You never know who you're going to meet and what you're going to learn about them. So practice hospitality. That is an excellent way to show one anothering. Okay, that is an excellent way to be devoted to one another, to get to know, okay, and understand what the needs are of different folks.
And they live about 5 minutes from here, and they're looking for a church. It was just amazing.
Yeah, yeah. What can you do to show hospitality? This gets back to what Ian was talking about earlier. What can you do to show hospitality? There you go. What else can you do?
Well, the elders in the college church in Cersei have a care group system where the whole congregation is divided into a care group surrounded by an elder, and periodically they have a meeting, usually in the area where the elder lives. So the whole city is divided into care groups depending upon area with an elder in charge of that care group. So that helps him to shepherd that sector of the congregation.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's that assembling together in a small group that allows you to have fellowship, to talk to one another, and begin to explore what the needs are of each other. Get to know one another better so that you can care for them. In fact, Ian, that's exactly where this material was born. I was a young man, and folks, the elders came to me and asked me to work with a care group concept. I didn't know what to do. And I called some preacher up, and he said, well, here's what you need to do. Start in the Word, number one. Number two, look up one anothering. And most of those verses are going to tell you what you need in order to be a caring congregation. But the list is endless, okay? We can move around. We can meet different people, but engage one another. Talk to them. Listen, okay? Listen. You never know what you're going to hear with regard to people's needs. But you got to listen. Invite people into your home. You know, that one of the unique concepts, we lived overseas, and one of the unique concepts was that when people come in to visit, they're strangers in a foreign country, they need somebody to look out after them, okay? And we would typically have, I've had colleagues into our home, and Janice would prepare a meal, and we got to know some really neat people, interesting people, I might add. But we also had brothers and sisters in Christ constantly passing through, and we would invite them into our home as well. I think Janice has fed these kids from Searcy that head off to on some mission trip to Southeast Asia. We hosted them several times. I was often gone, and Janice did it all on her own, you know, but had them into the home and fed them a meal and gave them a chance to visit. And, you know, it's not so much about you getting to know them sometimes as it is providing a forum for others to get to know one another. And maybe you're not real good at reaching out or talking, but you can provide that forum, that home, for them to do that in. And that's important too. There are lots of ways to show hospitality. It is one of the ways that we can. I got to hurry up. We're almost done. 1 Peter 3:8-9. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. A command with a promise. Okay? A command with a promise. But again, notice the ingredients. Verse 8 is kind of, you need to have all these behaviors in your life. Okay, and verse 9 tells us specifically, be in your responses to other people, always be kind. Practice brotherly love. Be devoted to one another. Devotion to one another requires that we live in harmony. Remember last week we talked about the body. Okay, one body. And we talked about peace. We're in Ephesians chapter 4. And peace is that ingredient that ties us together. Ken's going to talk about that today. I really wanted to jump in there and help him out this morning, but he did an excellent job. We were called to these things so that we will not, or so that we will inherit a blessing. To wrap it all up, we should be devoted to one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. It was this way from the beginning of the church. Acts 2:42-47. Practice brotherly love. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Do it more and more. 1 Thessalonians 4:10. Look out for the interest of one another. Philippians 2:3-4. Show hospitality and live in harmony. Now I used to know a preacher, and he always said, YBH, yes, but how? So a couple of practical comments about how to do this, all right? Evaluate your attitudes. You know, we started a couple of weeks ago, and I talked about reflection. It's important. Reflect on your attitudes and your actions. Do it daily. I think that's part of the challenge. Deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow after Jesus. Well, you need to reflect on how your behavior is, especially towards your brothers and sisters in Christ. Note and change things that hinder your involvement and devotion to others. Emphasis on hinder, okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says something like, let us cast off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. I think a lot of times we kind of skip over the hinder part and we go to the sin part. And we spend a lot of time talking about that. But you got to know that the scripture is accurate. There are things that hinder us from being better Christians. You need to figure out what those are. It may be a job. Maybe that job prevents you. It hinders you. You're being responsible to your employer, and there's no sin involved, but it keeps you away. It keeps you from being involved. You can change that. There are other things that hinder. Learn to recognize those things and manage them effectively in your life. Do not become isolated. We were just talking about that. Don't become isolated, especially from your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't forsake the assembly. You know, Ken did a great job of talking last quarter about one of the main reasons we come together in a corporate assembly is to encourage one another. And this last one, I kind of picked this up along the way. I think I first heard this in a sermon by a guy named Richard Rogers. And this isn't about putting anybody up on a pedestal. This is about observing people you perceive to be more mature in Christ. Observing how they behave with other brothers and sisters. Observing their qualities and talents. Sometimes you will see some things that aren't right, but you will also see good examples. So associate with them. I used to tell young people all the time, you really need to go get to know the elders. You know, invite them into your home and get to know them. It's good to know them. I think of a guy named D.R. Palmore, Don Palmore. And I've told this story many times. I'm not going to tell a whole story because we're out of time. But hanging out with Don, you know him, huh? He showed me a lot of how to behave towards other people. He was a great encouragement. So don't be afraid to observe the behavior of a more mature Christian and imitate that behavior. You may not understand it, but imitate it. Good lesson. I appreciate y'all's comments. Next week we're going to talk about honor one another. Text is Romans 12, 1 through 16, and we're back in Romans 12:10 again. Thank you. Have a good day.